Homily for Saturday, January 9th. I'd like to begin by praying the collect of today's liturgy. Almighty ever-living God, through your only begotten Son, you have made us a new creation for yourself. Grant, we pray, that by your grace we may be found in likeness of him, in whom our nature is united to you. It's really a beautiful prayer, well suited to this time of Christmas and Epiphany. These feasts tell us we see in Christ the new life that is ours by God's holy gift and grace. It's a gift and grace given by God to all people, not just Christians. What we see in Christ, his life and his love, that's the grace at work in all people. Just as Christ made God's life and love real, flesh and blood, life and love, just so are we called to make God's life and love real and fleshy for people now in our world. Real and fleshy in our world. The world we actually live in. That's the world of divisions and divisiveness. It's the world we saw this Wednesday right in this city. The world of yells, taunts, and violence. How do we make Christ's love real and fleshy in this world? What's a disciple of Jesus to say and do in such a world, in such a city as ours? Pope Francis wants to offer us a help for our reflection and prayer in his encyclical Fratelli Tutti. He really does want to reflect with us on what it means now to make Christ's love real and fleshy in our world. He tells us no one has the right to trample on the dignity of another. If such an injustice happens, then not only justice, but Christian forgiveness demand such wrongdoing be corrected and prevented. I want to read a wise caution Pope Francis gives us as we take up the work of correcting and preventing wrongdoing. His words are wise, but I find also extremely challenging. Listen to the words of Francis. The important thing is not to fuel anger, which is unhealthy for our own soul and the soul of our people, or to become obsessed with taking revenge and destroying the other. No one achieves inner peace or returns to a normal life in that way. The truth is that no family, no group of neighbors, no ethnic group, much less a nation, has a future if the force that unites them, brings them together, and resolves their differences is vengeance and hatred. We cannot come to terms and unite for the sake of revenge or treat others with the same violence with which they treated us or plot opportunities for retaliation under apparently legal auspices. Nothing is gained this way. And in the end, everything is lost. To be sure, it is no easy task to overcome the bitter legacies of injustices, hostility, and mistrust left by conflict. It can only be done by overcoming evil with good, and by cultivating those virtues which foster reconciliation, solidarity, and peace. In this way, persons who nourish goodness in their heart find that such goodness leads to a peaceful conscience and to profound joy, even in the midst of difficulties and misunderstandings. Even when affronted, goodness is never weak, but rather shows its strength by refusing to take revenge. Each of us should realize that even the harsh judgment I hold in my heart against my brother or sister, the open wound that was never healed, the offense that was never forgiven, the rancor that is only going to hurt me, these are all instances of a struggle that I carry within me. A little flame deep in my heart that needs to be extinguished before it turns into a great blaze. When conflicts are not resolved, but kept hidden or buried in the past, silence can lead to complicity in grave misdeeds and sins. Authentic reconciliation does not flee from conflict, but is achieved in conflict, resolving it through dialogue and open, honest, and patient negotiation. Conflict between different groups, if it abstains from enmities and mutual hatred, gradually changes into an honest discussion of differences founded on a desire for justice. All of us know that when we as individuals and communities learn to look beyond ourselves and our particular interests, then understanding and mutual commitment bear fruit in a setting where conflicts, tensions, and even groups once considered inimical can attain a multifaceted unity that gives rise to new life. Those were the words of Pope Francis. And I said Francis's words are challenging. Frankly, I don't know if, as a society, we are ready to step out of our small particular world of liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican rivalry. I'm not so sure it makes real sense to us to step out of a narrow partisan reading of all things for the sake of a larger unity. But for me, what I am sure of is that the partisanship as practiced by me and maybe by you, this kind of partisanship is the active denial of the Christ love a disciple is called upon to bring into our world. I need to nourish in my heart the goodness that overcomes evil. that leads me to reconciliation, solidarity, and peace. At the end of the encyclical, Pope Francis gives us words to reflect on deeply these days. He says, "In the name of all persons of goodwill present in every part of the world, in the name of God, we declare the adoption of a culture of dialogue as the path, mutual cooperation as the code of conduct, and reciprocal understanding as the method and standard. As church and as a nation, we have much to reflect on before God, who works to make us into the new creation we see in Christ.